We take upon his name. He doesn't take our name. We take his name. Be glad of that. I'm so glad he gave me a new name. I'm so glad I don't have to keep my old identity. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Well, in that male and female thing, we have, in our practical lives, we have a husband and a wife. But they become one. And what God joins together, no man can pull apart. I remember when we had our school, and we had, I forget, one of our kids, we was talking about, something came up about John and Margot. And you know the story I'm going to tell, of course. We was talking, or they were actually talking. They said something about John. And I said, John who? And they said, you know, John Margot. So, oh, no, that's John Pruitt. But they thought he was John Margot. Why would you think that? Why would a little kid think that?
That was Jonathan Jared.
John Margot. Why would you think that? That's Ben Amy. Kim Nancy, like Nancy's his last name, you know. Why would you think that? Now I'm building something to you. Here you are. Who are you so close to that when somebody says your name, his name comes too? See? Wouldn't it be wonderful? See that oneness that is available to be there? All right, praise God. Let me share a couple of the prophecies. And the first one is from Joel chapter number 2. And we've been standing on these revival and outpouring promises for quite a while. So I'm just reminding you and stirring it up inside you again. Joel chapter 2, 28 and 29. Hear these words. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so it's on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Somebody says, well, what is it to prophesy? It's been kind of diluted into being a seer or a fortune or a future teller. And that is not prophecy. Prophecy is... it can be an aspect of prophecy, but prophecy is just having a word from God burn in your heart and you releasing in boldness that word to others. That is what it is to prophesy, to speak the word of God under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also... on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I'm so glad we have this prophecy, because there's been some misunderstanding about a couple of New Testament scriptures. And the New Testament didn't do away with the Old Testament. The New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. And so there's some New Testament understanding where we pull one verse sometimes out of context. And it'll be this, that she's supposed to be still. And what the, just if you're wondering about that, the context there is, be still under the authority of the one who is over you. And don't forget, that's why I'm telling you, men, we are just as much feminine gender as she is. We are to be still and hear the word of the Lord. You remember when Peter spoke up too quickly and said, let's build a tabernacle for all three of them? And the Lord said, basically, you know what he said? Be still. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit's saying to the church, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Don't just rattle something off you think's a good idea. See, but come under the authority, be led by the, as many as are born again, they're led by the Spirit. You have the ability to be led by the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives you something and you have a, what's called in the scripture, an unction. I don't know how to describe an unction to you, except there's something that rises up. I remember one of the great times where I saw an unction was when my wife was recently filled with the Holy Spirit and God wanted to blossom out in her with different gifts of the Spirit. And we were in a church service and another lady who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit was sitting in front of us. And we were worshiping the Lord and the Holy Spirit got so strong and my wife started vibrating, trembling, shaking. As a matter of fact, her hands were on the, and she likes to stay under control, on the pew in front of her. And the pew in front of her started shaking. And so Mary Custer, who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit not long ago, said, turned around and she said to her something like, Candy, just go ahead. Just release that, you know. And she burst out with a wonderful, beautiful message in tongues that was followed by an interpretation that was a living word. And so it was a daughter of the Lord. It was if you know, tongues plus interpretation equal prophecy. And that was that prophesying, that word of the Lord coming, that crucial word that needed to come forth. And somebody needed to be filled. And God chose one of his handmaids to bring that. And he brought that word, see, to a whole church, to, he said, in the setting of all of them, there will be men servants and maid servants. There will be sons and there will be daughters. And they'll be equally used of the Lord. In Isaiah 60, the scripture that Berdan referred to a moment ago, arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is rising upon you. One of the signs of the glory of the Lord rising upon us. Come on, can we believe that we're in the middle of a time when the Holy Spirit is rising up on us? The glory of the Lord is going to be seen. Verse number 4 says this, lift up your eyes all around and see. What do you think he wants you to see? He says the glory of the Lord is rising upon you. He wants you to see it. What does it look like? What does it look like when the glory of the Lord visits a church? What does it look like when the glory of the Lord visits your family? It says they all, everybody say all. They all gather together. They come to you. They. See that inclusive word? Your sons come from afar and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant and your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles. If you don't see the pattern, it's sons and daughters being filled with the Holy Spirit that opens the door for the Gentiles or the wealth of the nations to come into the kingdom. Come on. We're going to finish up this morning by praying. I don't want to just be exclusive and just pray for the ladies, you know, because I already told you, how many of you are ladies in here? Well, spiritually speaking, we're his bride. So we'll pray for all of you. But in particular, there's some that have been, that are pushed down, that need to be released. I'm going to do some simple teaching this morning about culture, and it's my desire, I feel like it's the desire of the Holy Spirit, to see a generation of our young ladies rising up in authority, rising up to speak the word of the Lord with boldness, having a ministry that has been held down, to have that ministry released. Okay, here we go. Prophetesses of the temple. And so I would just want to put a stress on the temple ministry. But as we do, I want to broaden that out. Remember, I already talked to you this morning about there being that secret place, but there also being an inner court, and then there being an outer court. Now, did you know that ladies were not allowed in the inner court? Once more, it was only the high priest that was allowed to enter in. But thank God it's a different day now. Because the veil in the temple has been rent. And you can go into all. There's not anything this way. I'm just. The Holy Spirit's going, looking to and fro. You know what he's looking for? Somebody that'll just seek him, that he can pour his Holy Spirit out upon. And he doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care what your gender is. He doesn't care what your race is. He doesn't care what your culture is. He's just seeking somebody that'll look toward him, that he can fill with his Holy Spirit because of a world that's so in need. And he's wanting to fill you in that way. So I'm going to give you a list. We're going to run through a list. And the first one is a lady named Anna. And this is from Luke chapter 2. Do you remember last week we did Simeon? So I didn't think it'd be right to do Simeon without Anna. And I love this male and female thing in the temple. Isn't it interesting? I don't know if you thought about this or not, or if you've ever heard it taught. As I reflected, I grew up in church and I'd never heard this taught. And so I feel like the Holy Spirit has revealed some things to me, and so I'm passing them on to you today. Luke chapter 2, verse number, we did starting with verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And remember, we dwelt about that, saying, what's his description? You don't know anything about him. All we know is that he's a man. I don't know what family he's from. I don't know what tribe he's from. I don't know what his career was. But I do know this. He was a temple man. That he was staying in the temple. And he was a man of prayer. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he was a just man, devout man. So we prayed last week for our men. We pray for a Simeon generation that would have illumination as to who Jesus is and would be able to prophesy. All right, praise God. Now, here's the counterpart, starting with verse number 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess. Hear what Anna was called? A prophetess. That means that there was somebody here who was prophesying. You can't be called a prophetess if you don't prophesy. And so we have a lady in the temple. There was one Anna. By the way, Anna is the Old Testament name for Anna is Hannah. Hannah. And the name means favor or charm. Hail, thou art highly favored. That's Mary. Amen. Letter number A I had down. What Anna had? She had an outer court ministry. Of course, she had to have an outer court ministry because that's where she was. Some people need to get comfortable where they are. Did you know that? See, you can push to get in a different place, but some people just need to get comfortable where they are, because where Anna was, no matter how hard she would push, she's not going to get into that inner court in that day. She's not going to get beyond that place. You know what she found out? God could use her where she was. Some of you need to find this out. God can use you where you are. God can touch your family through you where you are. God can touch your neighborhood through you where you are. God can touch everybody that comes into Brenda's heavenly here place because of right where she's at. She says, well, no, I want a ministry. You do have a ministry. I've got a ministry of speaking. I wait upon the Lord. I wait for that unction. Wait for that anointed word to come. And then, and so here I am, whether you're on a farm ministering or whether you've been called to, whether you're, you know, you've got kids that are going through different trial times right now. What are you going to do, Mom and Dad? We're going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to wait for that unction. You're going to speak to them a word. Father, would you open my ears? Would you dig out my ears and would you give me a word? That's what prophecy is. Would you let me prophesy? Somebody says, oh, you don't have to prophesy, I'll say 7 years from now, this is going to be happening, that's going to be happening. No, God is faithful. You speak it to them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See? And the Word of God, the living Word of God, can penetrate a heart. And so we've got an Anna. What do you know about her? She has an outer court ministry. And so the outer court is in, there's no roof on this place. And there's all kinds of people there. It's the court of the Gentiles. It's the court of the women. It's the court of the children. And it's the court of normal circumstances. And here we've got somebody filled with the Holy Spirit in the outer court. Now, thank God we've got prayer warriors who are spending time in there. Thank God we've got people who are at the lampstand or at the table of showbread and who are getting those special revelations. But listen, if we don't take it, if it doesn't get out here, where people are. I know that this one's been abused, and I know that this one feels like they're inferior, and this one has been beat up, and this one is addicted, and this one is going through a trial time. Then, you see, none of that is inside there. All that is taking place. God has you situated. Amen. All right. You have an outer court ministry. Now, look, it says, I put next, Simeon sees, and Anna bears witness. Let's read about her. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So she got married and lived with him for 7 years, and evidently then he died. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. There's a little discrepancy, or a little, we don't know if that really means that she has been a widow for 84 years or she was 84 years old at this time. Doesn't make any difference. She's an older woman who has given herself over. She lost her husband after she was married for 7 years. And so she has been since then, watch, who did not depart from the temple. Boy, get some staying power. See, I'm not talking about, well, you mean you have to live in church? Well, you are the church. God has brought it to you. He has come and he has touched you. He has made you. He's the vine, we're the branches. And so he has touched you. Live in that. Live in your faith. She did not depart from the temple, but she served God. And the way she served God was with fastings. I put this outline together, and I had this, I thought it was interesting. I had two different people who wanted to check my English because, you mean fasting, not fastings. She served God with fastings and prayers. In other words, there was different one, she would maybe finish one fast because it came up here. Margo, I heard her say the other day, she said, well, I know we just finished this fast. Should we do another one? You know, there's fastings. And this one got so focused that evidently when she finished one, it wasn't very long before she started another season of denying myself and making room for you. And then another season of growing in the Lord. And then another season of hearing more acutely. Come on, can you get any closer? Can you give him any more room? She served God with fastings and with prayers. Amen. Night and day. So I'm giving you this description now. And sometimes this is what makes way for the word of the Lord. For that holy unction to rise up within you. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. I thought that was an interesting, the two-word phrase in there, that instant. And coming, she comes into the temple, and in that instant, I was thinking of the New Testament admonition that Paul gives somebody younger, growing in the Lord, says, be instant, in season and out of season. Well, when is it out of season to speak the word of the Lord, you know? Well, it feels like it's, what I'm telling you is sometimes it'll feel like it's out of season. I don't need to stop and tell you, but, well, one quick one. The fig tree, it was out of season, wasn't it? Did you remember that story? Jesus comes by the fig tree, and he sees it from afar off, and he goes to look. And if you read the story, it says that it was out of season, and it wasn't even supposed to have. It wasn't even supposed to have fruit on it. That's why some people, I was in a college class, in a comparative religion class, and this is one of the stories that they used, and they were trying to confuse us, you know, trying to, well, you know, the Bible's not perfect. And Jesus isn't always fair, is he? Because they said, he went to a fig tree that was out of season and looking for figs, and it didn't have figs on it, and he cursed it. That's not fair. Can I tell you something about you? God is always in season. The word of the Lord for you is always in season. where you feel like, where you look like, no, this is not, you know, this is not the time for that. Oh, yes, it is the time for that. This is not the time for prayer. This is, oh, yes, it is the time for prayer. This is not the time for my heart to be responding so outwardly to, oh, yes, it is. And so this is the season. Night and day. See what she did night and day. Prayers and fastings, night and day. And so next thing is temple identity, that night and day. And she was in there every day after that. See, I'm talking about now, if you don't want to make it the church, then let's make it the Spirit. In the Spirit, night and day. In the Spirit, fellowshipping with the Lord every day. Hallelujah. Fastings and prayers. Next, with prayers and fastings, night and day. Next, and Simeon recognized the gift, and now Anna is going to be recognizing the gift. Simeon recognized the gift, and Anna recognized the gift. It says, coming in that instant, she was ready to be moved upon. She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, just a real quick word, because you get full of the Holy Spirit, and notice she said, she started speaking boldly in the outer court, but she was also a little selective. Who was she speaking to? Who was she speaking to? Good, what's it say? To all? All who are looking. God needs to help you. Did you know it? Did you know when Jesus was teaching, he was talking, he gave us one little story about, and it's hard to differentiate some of this, but he says, don't cast your pearl before swine. Did you ever, you know, I said, Lord, those are hard words. I don't want to look at somebody and say, well, I'm not going to, you know, those are just swine over there, and I'm not going to waste my time ministering to them. You know, you don't know who's who, do you? But the Holy Spirit does, doesn't he? I'm not telling you to go around trying to classify everybody and say, I'm telling you, be led by the Spirit. This is the prophecy. Ladies, prophesying. Be moved upon by the Spirit. I know you're going to want to, you know, we all want to raise our kids to do right. And so we just tell them, this is what right to do. But there's going to be seasons when God will give you a word, a motivating word, a life-changing word. And while you're doing that general stuff, I know, wait upon the Lord, draw near to him, and he will give you that word in due season that can change a life. Amen. All right, praise God. So Simeon recognized the gift, and Anna also recognized the gift. And one of the wonderful things was that Simeon, now here's, I wanted to pass this on to you. We have got a man and a woman, both older, an older man and an older woman in the temple, and he spoke it and she confirmed it. One of the things that we've noticed in our life in ministry is, and it doesn't have to be that he spoke it first and she confirmed it. She might have spoken at first, and he would have come along and confirmed it. But I just wanted you to get it that they did it together. It came to them together. And you who are couples, you who are serving God together, let the word of the Lord be what? Be confirmed in the mouths of two or three witnesses. Amen. And that closest witness there will be a great blessing. Okay, next. Next prophetess in the scripture. Exodus 15 and verse number 20. Let me turn back to you so we'll have a text. There's a lady named Miriam. That's the Old Testament name for Mary. Verse number 20, listen to this. Then Miriam, the prophetess, what was Miriam called? A prophetess. And she was also the sister of Aaron. That made her the sister of Moses too. So she was Moses and Aaron's sister. but she was a prophetess. And she took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, saying, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider have been thrown." And the result was that all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Okay, let me just give you a quick description of Miriam and see what we can learn from her real quickly. God's hand was upon her. Now again, she's the sister of Moses and the sister of Aaron. Aaron's the high priest. Moses is a type of the deliverer. And then we've got Sis, little Sis. And let me tell you. See, problems are just problems, and they're in every generation. There's nothing new under the sun. Did you know it? Did you know what Miriam had one? Do you know anything, how can I say this, this kind of negative about Miriam? Did Miriam have any hang-ups? Did she have any struggles? Did she have anything that she had to work through? Let me just pass this on to you because, see, in every generation, watch this, watch this. Now, Miriam was a prophetess, and she had the word of the Lord. And her gifting, if you have to read this, I don't have time to develop it with you, but her gifting was probably equal with Moses and with Aaron. But she was the little sister. And when, now watch, because you need to be led by the Spirit. I'm just telling you, you have a word from the Lord. You have direction from the Lord. You have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in you. Now, what you have to do is you have to flow in unity and the bond of peace. And there's a flowing together that you're going to find out is necessary. And this is one of the things you'll find out. I remember a couple different times in our life, in our ministry, where the wife developed a stronger appetite for God and the Word of God than the husband did. And she advanced more rapidly in the what we call advancing in the kingdom or in her knowledge and understanding of Scripture. And before long, he felt so sub and so under that he was almost repulsed and he didn't want to hear about it. You know, or she'd get it first, and then she felt like she was supposed to be teaching him. Well, the Holy Spirit would teach him, and she needed to have a lot of wisdom. Anyway, we've got a young sister who is equal in anointing with Aaron and with Moses. And if you don't know what her problem became, is she was resistant to Moses being the leader. I know just as much as he knows. I don't need him to do it. As a matter of fact, and I started to tell you, sometimes you might know more than he knows. Or not just your husband, it might be your boss. But if he's the one that is set in that place, or a mayor, or a governor, or a president, or a Supreme Court justice, hold your tongue. Don't badmouth them. It's hard, isn't it? Pray for them. Pray that God will break through to them. Pray, it's okay to pray this. If you say, but I'm going to pray that God will remove them from office. I think that's okay to pray if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. God has a plan. And God will raise up those who are going to be raised up. And he will bring down those who will bring down. But you get it off of your plate. And you put it back in his hands. You need to know, I trust you, Father. I trust you for your plan for our nation. And Lord, you know what's best. And I'm standing with you and I'm in agreement with you. Raise up, Lord. Give us spiritual leaders. I pray for our president. We pray for our Supreme Court justices. That they will be led by the Holy Spirit. Give us an open heaven, Lord. We resist darkness on behalf of our nation. On behalf of our Congress and the Senate and the House of Representatives. Come on. See, it's okay to do that. And then have a trust in God. God will raise up and God will bring down. And so, if you don't know the story of Miriam, she had to go through a season where the favor of God wasn't able to flow like it ought to. Can I tell you this? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Did you know that she was a prophetess all during that time? And she was still hearing the word of the Lord and what she needed to do. And as soon as she did it, she then yielded and said, okay, I get it. He's who you're using for that. I'm who you're using for this. And she gave herself fully on that morning, Exodus 15, verse 20. After she had been through all of that hard time, she just had an unction from the Lord and she gave herself over into that. And you know what happened? All the ladies followed her. And they all entered in. They all brought out their tambourines and they all started dancing. Not easy to be that first one who's going to be moved upon like that. But they all followed. And so we've got Miriam Ben. And you know, I just remind you of this about her because look at there. God's hand was upon her. Did you know that when Moses, who was going to be the deliverer, God had him set up, didn't he, to be the deliverer? And he had her, he had his sister, he had Moses' sister set up from the very beginning. When Moses was there in the Nile, remember, it was his sister that was being used of God to she preserved the life of Moses, didn't she? She was there guarding that one. And so what a picture again of that handmaid or of that servant or of that sister helped save and preserve the life of Moses. That strong anointing along with Moses and Aaron, the caution that she had was her resistance to authority. She had to come to realize that even though I am equal with them, God is using them that way and using me this way. And she released herself into what her calling was. Next is a young lady named Deborah. And Judges 4 and verse number 4, just very quickly. Joshua and Judges. Because I just want you to hear the word of the Lord called these people what they are. Now Deborah, a prophetess, she was a prophetess. And she was married. She had a husband. And she was judging Israel at that time. She was a judge, one of the judges like Samson. I mean, you know, you get this picture of Samson, don't you? But do you have the picture of Deborah? She was a judge. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and she called for one whose name was Barak. And Barak was a military leader. How would you like to be Barak? And said, you want to get your orders, Barak? Go see Deborah. And Barak came to Deborah and Deborah gave him the plan of military victory for Israel. Amen. She told him and laid it out for him. And so I'm just telling you, there is authority. And when God's hand is upon you, to use. So she helped save. Okay. Deborah is called a prophet. She's a prophetess. She's a judge. She's a military leader. She's the one that came up with the plan for Barak. She's a poet. Next picture of the prophetess in the scriptures, 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. This is one that I bet you never heard of even. Her name is Huldah. Today we call her Hilda. Just a little side. My mother would kill me. My mother's name, I was 12 years old before I found this out. This is how much she hated this name. I knew she was Nellie H. Rowden. And so us kids, we'd always try to say, what's the H, Mom? She ain't going to none of your business. And so we'd say, it's Helen, isn't it? She'd say, might be. It's Hannah, right? She'd say, might be.
I was 12 years old, and I found a document in the mail. Said Nellie Hilda Rowden. Whew, she swore us. She made us take an oath. We'll never tell anybody. She didn't like that name. The Old Testament name Huldah, New Testament time, or we'd call it Hilda. And so thank God for Hildas in the church. Amen. I don't think she knew this verse, or she maybe would have liked this. So, okay, 2 Kings chapter 22, and verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Akbor, is that where I'm at? Nope. 22 verse 14. Say it again. Am I? 2 Kings 22:14. Okay, yes. Now look, this is the priest. A priest is going to come. You know, what I'm telling you is, say, well, I can't tell them what to do. He's pastor. Well, you don't have to go in there and start ordering him around. Please don't. But you can hear from God. We've had ladies that say, well, you know, I can't tell my husband what to do. And that probably won't work. But you can speak under the authority of the word of the Lord, and God will help you, and God will use you. We've got a priest that needs help. And they went to Huldah, the prophetess. She's called the keeper of the wardrobe. I don't know what that means for sure. I just knew I was supposed to include that. She dwelt in Jerusalem, and they spoke with her, and she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord. Behold, and she began to prophesy, and she laid things out, the things that was going to happen, and gave direction. That was Huldah. I thought it was interesting. Her name was Weasel. I was talking with one of my daughters last night as we was going through this outline. She said, Weasel, how would you like to be called Weasel? Huldah is the, no wonder my mom didn't like that name very much. Huldah is the Hebrew word for weasel. Oh, weasel. But does anybody know anything about a weasel? My daughter said, well, that's kind of like an otter or one of those kind of animals, isn't it? And I said, yeah, but do you know what they do? They kill snakes. And that's what the word of the Lord does. You want to bruise the head of the serpent? Spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we've got this Huldah. And she, now, let me tell you about the time when Huldah was ministering. She was this prophetess during this time. Her nation, the nation of Israel, grew cold in spirit, and they set aside the word of the Lord. And they didn't have any appetite for God. They really just excluded God from everything. And then during this time, somebody fell across some parchments, and they, with boldness, went to the wall, and they started reading it openly. It was the time when Josiah was king. And when they just kept reading the word of the Lord, and it said, well, they didn't have any appetite for it, but they was reading it day and night. They just kept reading that word of the Lord. And and the hearts of people started to turn. And it was during the time here of this prophetess, she prophesied during the time that the word of the Lord was being restored. And it was the word from Huldah that caused Josiah's heart to be turned. And Josiah said, he made the decree. Come on, church. If we get some anointed, spirit-filled women to take their places, and men, to take their places, the heart of the king can be turned. And by the way, I just received a word on my phone last night. I don't know if you got it or not, but it was our president. I thought, I listened to it before I saw his face. I thought it was a preacher. I thought he was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was preaching about light and darkness. And he said, it's a season for our nation to turn to light and to turn away from darkness. And he said, let me lead you in this. And he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then I look down and I see this blonde head hair. And it was our president. And he was setting aside that place. And I sensed the spirit of prophecy upon him. What I'm telling you is the hearts of presidents can be turned in a generation where we'll have some spirit-filled people who will prophesy. And Huldah prophesied, and Josiah's heart was turned, and Josiah said, I know that we said that we're not going to be reading that around here, but I make a new decree. This is going to be read in every home. The temple is going to be restored. The word of the Lord is going to come again to God's people. Praise God. That's all the spirit of the prophetess. There was another prophetess named Noadiah. You probably never heard of her either. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 14. And so she was gifted with the Holy Spirit, and she had the ability to see and to understand things. But she also had a lot of self in her. And this is the only one that we have a negative word about when it comes to somebody being a prophetess. Now, she's not called a false prophetess. You can be a right prophetess, hearing the right word of the Lord, but with a wrong heart. Did you know how important it is? Father, cleanse my heart. Lord, clean me up. Some of you have gifts of the Holy Spirit in you, but our hearts need to be clean. We need to be purified. There needs to be a sanctification. There needs to be because you can see things. And you know what she actually wound up using her gift for? She used her gift to intimidate Nehemiah. Nehemiah went out and started to build the wall, and she was opposing him, and she could use even her gifting to do it. And now she didn't stay that way, thank God. But I'm just telling you, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And because somebody prophesies or speaks with tongues or gives prophetic words, does that mean you ought to follow them around and do everything that they do and think that they're 100% right about everything that they're saying? Do you think? I hope you don't think so. Try the Spirit. Weigh things out. Chew the things that are going to be beneficial to you. The Holy Spirit will help you. And then the other side of this is, don't write them off, because God's not done. He's perfecting that which concerns him. Amen. All right, praise God. Just one quick verse, Acts 21, verse number 9. We don't know anything about these girls, but Philip, one of the Lord's disciples, had daughters, and it says that his daughters all prophesied. Praise God. I mean, John grew up with Bob and Rose Pruitt in their house, a Christian home. And the Spirit of the Lord is there. He's not one of the daughters, he's one of the sons. But see, it was easy for him, I think, to break into that. I have a son, Gary. He says, Dad, I know I'll never... We kind of wanted him to take over or something, do something. He says, I don't feel led to do that. But he says, I've got that same spirit. I've got that. It has gone off in him. See that thing, because he grew up with that. And I'm just telling you, Philip's daughters prophesied. Isaiah's wife, I don't know anything about her. There's only one verse that says where it refers to her. Isaiah 8, verse number 3. It says, because they're a prophetess, she complimented, Isaiah, do you understand? He's one of the, we'll call him major. I mean, I'd be thrilled to be a minor or a subminor, wouldn't you? But he's one of the major prophets, and his wife is a prophetess. I mean, she was moved upon by the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Don't you know they had some times together? Don't you know that he would hear and she would hear, and he would speak and she would speak, and iron sharpens iron, and two's better than one? How important it is that you get somebody. Amen. Last thing I want to tell you is a story about Aquila and Priscilla. And this is the last thing that has to do with women. And it's for the sake of hoping to clear up some of the identity thing. Aquila and Priscilla were a New Testament husband and wife, and they were a ministry team. I said they were a husband and wife, but they were also a ministry team. And Paul had great respect for them, and he was thanking them for their teaching, their involvement, and the way that they were discipling people. And I've got two verses run down right there. Acts 18, verse number 2, because when it refers to them, it refers to them as Aquila and Priscilla. And then later on, verse number 18, he's referring to them as a ministry team, and he calls them Priscilla and Aquila. So I had fun with this last night. Again, I was going over this outline with one of my daughters, and we said, the Pruitts, what would you say about them? How do you think of them? John and Margot. The Wirtz, Pat and Mary. The Rowdens. Most of you say Gary and Candy. Now let me add something to you. Unless you're thinking about a prison ministry or that arm of ladies ministry, and notice it didn't say Gary and Candy ministry or prison ministry. It said Candy Rowden Ministries, because that was the anointing. And in that area, now watch. So we're here and here, but sometimes we're here and here. Anyway, in the Greek language, and this is part of the Greek culture, I had Brother Hagin in one of his seminars teach us this when I was in Tulsa one time. It was teaching. He says, we showed up for this class because it was called the woman question. And it was just simply this: can women prophesy? Can women be in positions of leadership? And so he had one of his best friends was a lady named Marilyn Hickey. And she was a powerful teacher in the word of the Lord. Her husband, his name was, do you remember? His name was Wally. Come on, I'm older than you, I guess. Anyway, his name was Wally. And he was a pastor. And so he pastored the church. How would you like to be the pastor of the church and have your wife be Marilyn Hickey? And so when she comes to church on Sunday morning, she'd follow the leadership of Wally. And it was Wally and Marilyn. And then Marilyn would get on the radio or would go hold a crusade, and thousands of people would come, and he would be there, and he'd be sitting on the front row, and he'd be her number one prayer warrior and supporter. And it was Marilyn and Wally. Can I tell you this? Who cares? Just as long as God's moving. Whoever you want to use, Lord, and however you want to use him. And if I see God moving his way. Now watch. John has a ministry of, do you mind? Just observation thing. John has his place as his ministry. And he's got a strong wife who comes by his side. And I've watched her encourage him, hold him up, pray for him. Thank God for it. Become one with that. But John has an anointed wife. We've asked her to lead up a prayer ministry and to keep our church stirred up, be on the front lines of the prayer movement. See? Now, John's for that, but we didn't ask John to do that. Because there's an anointing there. John is a wise man. He recognized this is the anointing. This is the moving of God. I'm going to join you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to hold you up while you do that. See? I'll come alongside you. The two will be one. In the areas of, Candy and I have done this in days gone by, where we even, it used to be some obvious things. Message in tongues. The prophecy, then, or the interpretation come. Partnering together. And then turn around the other way. Or the speaking of the, do you know how important it is when the pastor has preached his heart out and he feels like he didn't get it done and he gets home and she says, I heard that and that was the word of the Lord and I'm so thankful, honey. And I mean, there's something about the Simeon seeing it and Anna confirming it. There's something about the moving of it and then the confirming of it and the two working together. And then we need to be ready to yield. And there's some things, this is what I found out, there's some things that she understands and she knows that I have trouble understanding and I won't know. And if I can't get my hard-headedness down and my stubbornness under control to be willing to hear and let her demonstrate the strength that God. And did you know this? Just let me just tell you. The number one, Jesus taught this. He said, I know that your number one strength can be the one who's right there next to you. But did you know your number one enemy can also be the one who's right there? He said, the one who will hold you back and stifle you and quench the Holy Spirit will be that one right there. I just want to apologize for it. I just want to humble myself and say, oh God, I need a greater flow of your Spirit. So to support one another, to bless one another, and to recognize the callings of God, and to get one another released in those callings. It said the enemy will be those of your own household, the one who can hurt you the most, but also the one who can release you. Oh, God, would you help us? I'm going to take time now and pray for it, ladies. If it was a regular service and we weren't in the middle of all of this silly stuff, we'd have the laying on of hands. We'd have our elders ministering to you. Spiritually, Father, I'm asking you, oh, God, would you tear down every wall now and make every one of our handmaids, every one of our daughters and of the Lord accessible to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Father, as I reach my hands out to these women today, women in particular, to these moms, to these wives, to these daughters, to these nieces, Lord. Father, I'm asking, oh God, these that you have blessed with the Holy Spirit, these that you fill with the Holy Spirit, Lord, we need it to be released. We need it to be stirred up. I thank you, Father, that the prophecy, the word of the Lord is coming to pass and is coming upon not just our sons, but our sons and our daughters, and not just the men servants, but the maid servants. And hand in hand and heart to heart, we can stand together and we can minister together and we can confirm one another's ministry. I just want you to get soft-hearted enough. Some of you, when you leave today, you might ought to look at your wife and say, honey, I've seen God's hand on you in this way. I've seen how you're being obedient to the Lord, and I'm going to do my best to get behind and see that get released in you. You ladies, you can do the same thing right back to him. We affirm one another. We bless one another. Can we just go back to that number scripture that we sang as we finished this morning? Honey, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Now, if you don't have a spouse, you're part of an open court ministry, an outer court ministry. And you're surrounded by people. And you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. When it says God has not given you a spirit of fear, I know you want to think that that's sudden terror, you know, like that kind of fright, getting goosebumps from being booed or, you know, somebody scaring you that way. But that God's not given you, when it says the spirit of fear, it means intimidation. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to feel anymore like you can't, or you won't be accepted. When you have that moving of the Holy Spirit, I want to go back to that one phrase that says, she in that instant spoke it out. That word that needed to be spoken, it was necessary that in that instant she could do it. I'm praying for you today in Jesus' name. That as you see things and you'll be soft and sensitive, and you'll know when you're supposed to speak it out in that instant and bring that word. His nothing more powerful. Did you know the prophecy is the top of the list of signs and wonders, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation, words of knowledge, words of wisdom? Did you know the very top of the list, according to him, is prophecy? And God's sons and daughters will prophesy. So I don't have a miracle working ministry. Prophesy. It's given to you. Hallelujah. So I pray for you now. Brenda, I pray for you. Hallelujah. Jordan, I pray for you. Prophetess. Establish, Lord, ministries. Lord, hallelujah. Before long, they'll say, I know where I can go to hear something from God. I'll just go let her do my hair. See what God puts on her heart. I'll go visit Arlene. She's been in prayer this week. See what she's got to say. Carol is a Miriam who can lead the ladies. Remember, she had this, Miriam had the gift of prophecy, but it doesn't say any word anywhere about the things that she prophesied about, except she did it in the song. Sang about the Lord and about his deliverance and the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. She did it with the dance and she did it with the timbrel. Carol, prophesy on that piano. Prophesy when you stand up. When you stand up on that piano, it says what happened when Miriam did it. It said all the ladies joined in. One of these Sundays where I'm going to do it, I'm going to look over there. Carol's going to get excited and stand up while she's playing that piano. And I'll look out and all the ladies will stand up. Somebody will take that tambourine and start to shake it, and all the ladies will start shaking. Hallelujah. Amen. Prophesy. Wait upon the Lord for his unction and prophesy over your children. Amen. Not just tell them, brush your teeth because it's good. You know, say your prayers. You know, all that good stuff. But in the middle of it, oh, and by the way, I think I heard something from God when I was praying for you. God wants you to know and speak it to them. The word of the Lord will penetrate their heart. Now, let me tell you this. Man and wife, Christ and the church, Jesus, we're the body of Christ. Can you get anything done without your body? Well, you can just sit in there and think about it, can't you? But can you get anything done without your body? Can you go anywhere? Can you visit anybody? Can you help anybody? You're the body of Christ. Just in case you don't know how important you are. I mean, it's fine to have the unction. But without the moving through the body. Ladies, get it out of neutral. Praise God. In Jesus' name. I love you. Happy New Year to you. You're going to be mightily used of God in the coming year. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to be doing an expose. I had a new, fresh understanding about Noah. I don't know how I had all this stuff slip by me all these years, but I'm still learning, still growing. And so we're going to be sharing Noah as a type of Christ for you the next week, and he'll give you a different picture of him and the appreciation that you'll have and of the rainbow. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. I love you. Amen. Be well. Be healed. Hallelujah.